Dozens of fires continue to burn across the nation in New South Wales, Queensland, South Australia's Eyre Peninsula, which was contained overnight. Parts of Western Australia on alert too. New South Wales has declared a state of emergency in the face of catastrophic fire conditions, meaning high temperatures and dry winds would make any potential fire deadly.
We are talking significant fires already across New South Wales, and under catastrophic conditions, fires that start and take hold will grow and develop extremely quickly and become large fires very, very easily. They will burn very aggressively.
That's the New South Wales Fire Commissioner Shane Fitzsimmons speaking a short time ago. We will be talking to the New South Wales Premier shortly, but in the meantime, Australia fire authorities are set to meet their counterparts from the United States and Canada in Sydney this week to discuss additional help for Australia's firefighting efforts, both immediately and over the course of this summer. Stuart Ellis is the Chief Executive of the Australasian Fire and Emergency Service Authorities Council. I've been speaking to him.
Hey, Mr. Morning.
The New South Wales Rural Fire Service Deputy Commissioner Rob Rogers says that today's scenario is worse than anything he could have imagined. Could you offer a perspective on that?
Well, I think that's really what we are facing. We are facing a situation that hasn't been experienced in living memory. And so that's a real indication that we're heading into uncharted territories on such a broad scale. I mean, we have had catastrophic conditions in specific areas around the country before, but not around Sydney and not in northern New South Wales, where historically, it's been a lot wetter than it is now.
Has Australia dealt with anything? I know you're sort of saying that the conditions are rare, that the catastrophic warnings are not something we've dealt with on a large scale before, but has Australia faced many days like the one that we are facing today?
Well, I think it is pretty similar to a Black Saturday day 2009 in Victoria. So we knew that was coming and the potential impact of that day. And we know now that this is coming. So, I mean, to answer your question, we have not faced many days like this. And the concerning thing about today in New South Wales in particular, but also in Queensland, is that there is already significant fire in the landscape. I think there's around 60 fires burning in New South Wales. So on Black Saturday, there was a very small number of fires in Victoria. There happened a large number of fires developed, but in New South Wales today, we already have a large number of fires. I think we've burnt over 1 million hectares in New South Wales over the last 2 months. That's a significant amount of fire already in the landscape, which is going to be subject to the conditions today.
Given all of your years of experience in dealing with these sorts of things and coordinating the response, could you offer us a description of your levels of anxiety facing today?
Well, I could certainly offer advice to listeners that might be living in fire-prone areas for a day like today, and that's to get out. I mean, the only safe place to be is somewhere else. And Hamish, I'm an ex-SAS officer. I feel pretty capable, but I would not consider staying at my home today because in these circumstances, it is not viable. It is unsafe to do so. And I know it's heartbreaking when we see houses and livelihoods destroyed by fire, but it's much worse if people lose their lives. And the only way people can be safe on a day such as today is to move away early this morning out of those areas.
And does the combination of all of these things happening at once, does that stretch our capabilities?
Absolutely. No, it does. Because we've been at this for 2 months already, Hamish, this year. And so on any day in New South Wales in recent weeks, there may have been 1,000 firefighters on the fire ground. The vast majority of those are volunteers. They rotate every 3 to 5 days. So in a week, there may well be 3,000 or 4,000 personnel rotating through the fire grounds. So if we've done that for, I think, 8 weeks now, you can imagine it starts absorbing large resources. And we're particularly blessed in Australia and New Zealand. We've got almost 300,000 fire and emergency personnel, but 85% of those are volunteers. And you know, the vast majority need to remain with their local responsibilities, their employment or farms, to support their local area. And so there's only a smaller number that are available to deploy across the state or indeed interstate, as is occurring currently.
You're travelling to Sydney today. You're meeting with counterparts from the United States and Canada. What are you asking them for?
Well, as you're aware, with them, we travel to North America when they need additional resources. And so we're just planning what resources we may require. The most likely is what we refer to as incident management staff, fire specialists that can help manage these large and ongoing, what we refer to as campaign events. And so we're putting in place arrangements so that they can deploy here at short notice.
You will be aware that these fires have taken on a particularly sharp political dimension particularly over the last 24 hours. And I'll understand that you perhaps don't want to engage in the politics of this too much. But can you be clear with us, because you've said it on this program before, and I've also got documentation in front of me of what you think on these issues, about the connection between climate change and the increasing frequency and impact of bushfires in Australia?
Look, we do take advice from scientists, and they have advised that the changing climate will lead to longer fire seasons and more intense fires, exacerbating the frequency and severity of these fire events. And I think that's what we're seeing here playing out today before our eyes.
You wrote a piece in October of this year warning very precisely about the sorts of things that we are seeing right now. And you also note in this document that while ex-commissioners and chiefs have found their voice through the Climate Council, current commissioners and chiefs are briefing governments and advising that fire and emergency services alone cannot resolve what we face. Is it fair to say that people in the emergency services community have been saying to all levels of government for some time now that there is dire consequences in front of us, potentially?
We have certainly been briefing that to government. I think, in fairness, Hamish, you know, the New South Wales government, for instance, as I've been advised, are offering whatever resources the fire agencies need currently. I mean, we have approached the federal government for additional resources for large air tankers, and that's currently on the table. We're optimistic about their response for that.
Would you have liked to have seen that in place ahead of this summer, given the concerns that you've clearly been raising?
Look, that would certainly have been helpful, absolutely. And I think, that said, we are going to end up with seven large air tankers. We ordered another one yesterday. It's going to be operational by the weekend. So we have never had seven large air tankers in place before. As we discussed before, Hamish, fire and emergency is a state, not a federal responsibility, but particularly with these large air tankers, which are very deployable around the country, we see them as a national resource operated by the states, if you like. And on that basis, we think it's very appropriate for the federal government to contribute to that, as they do to our broad national aerial firefighting effort.
You have already in this conversation mentioned New South Wales and the support that you've received from the New South Wales government, but it has been confirmed that New South Wales had a budget cut of $12.9 million to recurrent expenditure in this year's budget for firefighting. That's on top of $21 million of other savings to be found. Is now the time to be cutting money from the services that deal with fighting fires?
Well, I think right now is the time to provide the agencies with whatever resources they're asking for.
Stuart Ellis there, the Chief Executive of the Australasian Fire and Emergency Service Authorities Council.